In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning. This is Rich Schmidt filling in for Pastor Greg Huffman this morning on Word for Life broadcast. And Pastor Huffman is off on a couple of days. He'll be back on the broadcast in short time. But I'm very, very happy to be able to be here this morning and to spend a few minutes as we'll open up a passage from the Word of God and talk about a subject that we've dealt with the past two broadcasts, which is grasping godliness. Well, let me ask you this morning, what have you done so far to walk with God today? Have you spent a little time in prayer? Did you say a prayer when you first got up? Did you spend maybe a few minutes with the Lord getting in touch with Him? Have you opened up the only book ever written by God, the Bible, and gotten something from our God this morning? You know, it's just such a wonderful thing in America, those that are listening this morning, to be able to go into your bedroom or into your living room or into your dining room or maybe into your own personal library, and there is a copy of the book that God Himself wrote, that wonderful, wonderful book we call the Holy Bible. Have you spent time with Him this morning? Well, we're going to challenge you along that line this morning. We've been talking about the concept of grasping godliness. How bad do we want to live like God? How bad do we want godliness, if you will? How much are we willing to sacrifice? How much are we willing to give? How much time are we willing to dedicate? How are we willing to act in our daily life in order to have, if you will, godliness, or be able to portray or to show or to demonstrate that we're Christians? We threw out a couple of ideas in the past few broadcasts about things that people desire, that they seek for, and that really can dominate their life. Things like affection and attention and food and peer approval, love, intimacy. And may I suggest that one of the strongest drives in human beings is that of survival. We will do whatever it takes to stay alive. We talked about an instance where my dad back in the day, just to teach me a bit of a lesson after I tried to dunk him, held my head underwater for a much longer period than I would have wished him to, and I fought like everything to try and get some air. Finally, my dad let me up, and I was able to breathe and get some air. And it's like, how bad do I want air? Well, that was a wonderful lesson, and I took that to a spiritual level. I want air with every fiber of my being so that I can live. Well, how bad do I want godliness? Do I want godliness? Am I willing to do whatever it takes to get godliness, no matter what that may be? I'm going to challenge us with that this morning. So we're going to complete our three-part series today on reasons why Christians must be self-disciplined or self-controlled. The first reason we looked at, or the core reason, is because God commanded us to be it. And we'll look at the passage in just a moment. The second thing we looked at, why we must as Christians be self-disciplined, is to avoid bad spiritual outcomes. Well, the third thing that our passage, and we'll read it in just a moment, tells us is we must be self-controlled or self-disciplined as cleansed sinners. Let's look at the passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, if you have a Bible handy, and it states this: "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things," or these eight character traits we just read, "are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things," or those eight character traits, "is short-sighted, even to blindness." And now here's our punchline for today: "and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Now here's what God's saying. Here's the challenge that he gives to us for this morning. When you are saved, when you become a Christian, when you know that your sins are forgiven, you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know you're a saved individual. In other words, saved from hell, saved from sin. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know that you are heaven bound. Then God says, listen, if you have these eight character traits, you should have them. That's a good thing. But he says, you know, if you've walked away from those things which I've commanded you to have, here's the reason why. Because, and here he says it, for you have forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sins. So what God's basically giving us is some motivation here. He's saying, listen, out of gratitude, out of love for God, we need to have those eight character traits and to exercise them. And ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest, and young people, may I suggest that if we're not walking with God, in other words, if we're not sacrificing some recreational time, if we're not putting down the sports magazines or the hunting magazines or the journal magazines or whatever else it might be, if we're not putting down the TV clicker for some time, if we're not taking our minds and focusing on Christ and focusing on the only book that God ever wrote, the Bible, if we're not spending time praying to the Lord, if we're not spending our time at least once a week on Sundays, or maybe another day some of you choose to go, getting into a good Bible-believing church, spending fellowship time with God's people, then God says, we've forgotten. That's a horrible thing to say. We've forgotten that we were cleansed from our sins. Wow, that's not a good thing at all. Well, what are some of the benefits of having received Christ as our Savior? Basically this, we are cleansed from our old sins. And by the way, we're cleansed from new sins as well. We've been justified, God tells us. When we've trusted Jesus Christ, we have been justified, which is a biblical term. We've been declared judicially clean or without fault or without sin. We are positionally placed in a good relationship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, very familiar verse, states, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. In other words, if you are a Christian, anyone who is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Basically, the tense of the verb there is saying this, all things are passing away. All things are becoming new. In other words, this is talking about spiritual growth. Becoming more like God, becoming more like Christ. That word is called sanctification. Sanctification, a continual ongoing process of becoming more like Christ. You know, the wonderful thing when you become a Christian, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit literally comes to dwell within us. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:16. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, there's some other benefits. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it tells us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? It means the Christian, the true born-again believer, the true Christian has been sealed. In other words, we're saved. In other words, we won't experience hell or eternal separation from God. Well, let's get back to the concept of why we must be self-disciplined, why we must act as God's people, why we should be disciplined in our daily life. Ephesians chapter 4 says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Whoa. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Bible, God himself is saying, listen, Christian, don't grieve me. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't do those things which you know are scripturally improper. And you say, my goodness, I fight day and night. I try and do right, and I try and I try and I try, but I still fail. I still fall short. Well, let's be honest. It is a daily struggle, and there are temptations that come your way. But God makes it perfectly clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that God will give you the grace. He will give you the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those temptations, to overcome those things which seek to derail you. Bible states in 2 Peter 1:9, stop walking without Christ. In other words, walk with God. It says, you have forgotten you were cleansed from your old sins. You can't forget that, ladies and gentlemen. boys and girls, young people, that we need to walk with God. Remember what He's done for you. Remember the sin life that we used to have. Remember the things that He cleansed us from. Remember, that's what the Lord's asking us to do. Remember what I've done for you. I've cleansed you. I've given you a new life. I've given you the hope of heaven. One day we will dwell with Jesus forever. And that's something we can all shout, I trust, amen to this morning. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled or controlled with the Spirit. Basically saying this, you ought to be soul controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, Him alone. Just like if you were, which I trust you're not, but he's comparing it to someone who's been intoxicated. They're controlled by alcohol. And God's saying, listen, I want you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Here's some suggestions he gives. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. He reminds us once again in 2 Peter, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, we should have faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Well, something else the Bible encourages us to have, which is the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, if you're walking with the Lord, if the Holy Spirit, you've truly allowed Him to fill you, and you're not living, if you will, in sin as a Christian, and you're walking with God, you'll have these virtues, if you will, or these character traits. The fruit of the Spirit is fruit, singular. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, you've got all of these character traits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, godliness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How do we get self-control? Walk with God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a guaranteed fruit of the Spirit. The benefits of the self-disciplined person is you're going to honor God. You know what that means? Probably means the following. You're going to be a great person to have on anyone's team. You're going to be a great employee, the one who probably is going to get the promotion because you understand that serving others and being a tremendous employee and giving 100% is the right thing to do. You'll be the one who disciplines himself. You're the one who will be loyal to those you should be loyal to. The one who disciplines himself not to speak poorly of leadership, not to have a critical spirit. And by the way, a critical spirit is not a gift from God. Does that hurt a little for some? It might. But criticizing others, being hurtful, being harmful to people, that is certainly not a godly character trait. How about being a great husband? I'll tell you what, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're walking with the Lord, you're going to be a wonderful husband. You'll be a wonderful wife. By the way, you'll be a wonderful child at home and be an honor to your mom and to your father. Well, are you grasping after godliness? Are you going after the Lord? 1 Timothy 4 tells us, exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Listen, are you willing to fight for godliness the same as you would for a marathon? Are you willing to fight for godliness the same as you would to go to a track meet or to run or to do any kind of an exercise? Listen, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Are you walking with God?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.